The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We find that in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And the first question we need answered, if we're going to understand this verse, is what does it mean to walk in the light? I'm going to address that quickly, but before I do, I would like to pray. Our Father, we thank you for our Savior, and we thank you for his blood. We thank you for cleansing from sin. And I just pray that as we look at this truth this morning, you would encourage each of us and build us up in the Christian faith. Amen. So what does it mean to walk in the light? Some might propose that walking in the light is equivalent to being holy. And though walking in the light would certainly include the concept of holiness, I don't believe that is a full explanation. I don't believe that's a full understanding. After all, why would we need cleansing from sin if we are already holy? Let me propose that walking in the light is openness before God and man, or maybe as the song that Michael picked, on full surrender. In Ephesians 5, we are given the definition of light. It says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light is what allows our eyes to see. And spiritual light is what allows us to see and comprehend truth. Manifest, the word manifest simply means clear or obvious to the eye. So walking in the light is allowing your heart to be made manifest. Allowing your life, your heart, your feelings, who you are, to be made manifest before God. Now, I'm not making all this up off the top of my mind. Jesus said in John 3:19-21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Walking in the light is a heart attitude towards God. And of course, that heart attitude brings you to holiness. And as I mentioned, holiness is included. But I don't believe holiness alone is a complete understanding. And this distinction is vital. Because if walking in the light is strictly living a holy life, then the promise of cleansing at the end of the verse must be worked up to by weeks, months, and years of effort. But if walking in the light is the same heart attitude that Jesus was talking about in John 3:21 when he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, then the promise of cleansing at the end of the verse can be gained in an instant by stepping out of the shadows of dishonesty and lies and letting the light of the gospel shine into every corner of your heart. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. I guess one way I could sum it up would be to say, walking in the light more expresses the pursuit of holiness than the attainment of it. And I take the time to make this distinction because this is the kind of struggle that I am prone to. The sinfulness of my heart is inclined to say, that promise doesn't apply to you, because you don't meet the qualifications. But that's simply not true. I do meet the qualifications because, not because I've attained any level of holiness, but because I have come to Christ, that His light may shine on my life and make my deeds manifest. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. So, now with the terms of the promise plain, let us look at the promise itself. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You say, not me, because I'm too wicked. Another says, not me, because I've repeated the offense too many times. And another says, not me, because I've sinned against too much light. And yet another struggles to claim this promise because he has not acknowledged that his faults that he is wrestling with are actually sins. So to start with the man who says, I'm too wicked, the degradation of humankind is astounding. As fast as man invents new technology, he also invents ways to use it for his lust. As fast as man invented a hammer and nail, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and built a city. Man will invent ways to use a shovel and hoe for sin. Yea, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 21:4. Man is quite incredible with the things he has invented, but it seems that he has expended the most of his energy inventing new crimes. Things that hurt our ears to hear about. Things that hurt our eyes to behold. And things that we dare not speak of. Yet the glorious truth is, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There may be sins too gross to behold. There may be sins too gross to mention with our lips. But there is no sin too gross for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Furthermore, Paul already takes the place as the chief of sinners. We find in 1 Timothy 1:19, Paul writes to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. I hear people talking about Paul being the chief of sinners all the time, but it's a rarity that I hear someone talking about this verse that comes directly after it. And in this context, this verse carries weight. Let me read it again. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. God chose in the establishment of the church to save the worst sinner there was, so that through the rest of time, he could be an example of the long-suffering grace of Christ. Paul, in speaking of himself, just a couple verses earlier than this, says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Paul was a blasphemer, and the law says in Leviticus 24:16, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Paul was a persecutor, and Jesus said in Matthew 18:5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Paul was injurious, And that means causing or likely to cause damage or harm. Paul consented to the death of Stephen. Paul locked people in prison, and he intended to do so to a whole lot more before God stopped him. The Old Testament says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So here Paul was a murderer, and yet in Christ he obtained mercy. Paul elsewhere says, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, and he was lustful. And he says of himself that he was the chief of sinners, and that God chose to save him to be an example and a pattern through the rest of time. If God could save the worst sinner, God can save you. If the blood of Christ could cleanse the worst sinner, the blood of Christ can cleanse you. God tells us through the Apostle John that if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. And the obvious reason is simply that God already said all men are sinners. So if you claim to be an exception, you make it out as if God has lied. Can I suggest that the opposite of true is true? If you say God can't forgive me, you are making God out to be a liar, because God has already said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You say, what about the unpardonable sin? I am fully persuaded that if you knelt before God with the unpardonable sin on your shoulders and asked for forgiveness, God would take that sin and hang it on the cross of Christ. The unpardonable sin is not a sin too great for the blood of Christ to pardon, but it is a heart too hard to ask for forgiveness. It's a heart that refuses to walk in the light, which is the only condition to appropriate this promise. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You say, okay, fine. I'm not too wicked, but I have repeated the offense too many times. Well, I'm happy to be serving a God so good that I can say no worries here either. Peter came to Jesus once and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. And Jesus is quite obviously expressing the idea of forgiving infinitely. And God will not require something of us that He will not perform. Not 7 times, but 490. No, not 490 times, but just however many times it needs to be. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And another man says, I've sinned against too much light. And yes, you are right that the more light you sin against, the greater your sin. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. David, the man after God's own heart, who out of all Israel was the one God chose to be king. This is the man who committed adultery with his servant's wife, murdered his servant, and took the woman to be his own wife. David was not the first nor the last to commit this crime. Man has been committing these same crimes since the fall of Adam till this very day. The reason why the story of David is recorded in Scripture is because he was such a godly man. Or let me say, because he sinned against so much light. David did walk in the light, and we see this in the way he responded to Nathan when Nathan the prophet said to David, "Thou art the man." And David said to Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." David sinned against as much light as anybody, yet he got forgiveness by faith. And I believe the Bible records this story of David because if David can be forgiven, anybody can. Is not that what the Bible says? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Peter was the most forward apostle. Peter was one of the three who seemed to be Jesus' favorite. Peter, James, and John were the three that were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were the three that Jesus took with him when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus set his disciples down and took Peter, James, and John a little further. And it was to them, Peter, James, and John, that he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. This is the Peter that denied Christ. Throughout world history, man has denied Christ. Man has sinned the same sin of denial thousands of times. But the Bible records the story of Peter's denial because his is the most extreme. Peter sat at Jesus' side. Peter listened to the words of his mouth. Sat around the dinner table with him hundreds of times and many such things. Then Peter denied that he knew him three times. We look at it as a rebuke when Jesus comes to him and asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And it was. But it was also mercy, because Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to affirm his love to Christ three times after he had denied him three times. Peter was not only forgiven, but he had his apostleship restored to him. Became a pillar in the church. If Peter's denial could be cleansed in the blood of Christ, any denial can be cleansed in the blood of Christ. And is not that what the Bible says? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jonah. People often struggle with knowing the will of God, and then they make it worse for themselves by beating themselves up about things that they did wrong in the past. "I think God prompted me to do this or that, and I missed it. God wanted me to do such and thus, but I put it off until it was too late. God wanted that, and I blundered it." It's a good thing to be careful about everything we do. It's right to consider the will of the Lord in every choice we make. But when you start beating yourself up about things that have been done wrong in the past, you need to remember the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't read his Bible one morning and find a verse that spoke to him and say, "Well, with the circumstances I am in the light of this verse, I believe I should go to Nineveh." God spoke directly to him. Jonah didn't have some impression that made him think that he should go. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah didn't want to go. So he didn't just sit at home and continue his ministry there. He got in a boat going the opposite direction. God wants me there, but I'm going here. There has never been a more blatant disobedience Yet God had him thrown into the sweet sea, swallowed by a fish. For 3 days that poor fish had a bellyache until he finally breached himself and vomited Jonah back up on the shore. And God not only forgave Jonah, but he called to him a second time and said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." If God can use a man like Jonah, he can use you. You aren't going to outdo Jonah's disobedience. Jonah is set forth as an example of grace. If God could forgive Jonah, God can forgive you. And is not that what the Bible says? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The answer for sin is not shrinking it until it's small enough to handle. The answer is expanding it until it's big enough to acknowledge so Christ can wash it away. Many people wrestle in their minds with sin because they're trying to downplay it rather than admit its true awfulness and go to Christ with it. I have a tendency to do this. I have a tendency to say something I should not say. And then live in turmoil for 2 to 3 days, trying to move on in life and forget about my mistakes. But this week, as I thought about this verse, I came to realize a good portion of my problem is that I want to downplay my faults. But if I admit how gross they are, then my only option is forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You speak an unkind word. You take advantage of a friend in a subtle way. You dwell on a thought you shouldn't dwell on. You allow a little hatred in your heart. Maybe you got angry at your car yesterday. Maybe you spoke evil of an absent friend. Whatever it is, you've done something that's weighing down your conscience. I have a verse for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If the books of heaven were open and the blood of Christ was not covering the chronicle of your sin, the list would be so long and the crimes so offensive that even the cleanest person couldn't handle to behold or read his own list. You would stand aghast as you read line after line of crimes you had long ago forgotten about. Take the sins of your childhood, the petty theft of candy and the little lies. Take the sins of your lustful youth. Take the sins of adulthood. Take the sins of your gray hairs if you've gotten them yet. Stir it all up in a big bowl. And the stench is enough to make a man with even the smallest conscience choke. But the blood of Christ can wash it as clean as a crystal fountain. Paul is set forth as the greatest sinner and God forgave him. David, Peter, and Jonah are examples of people who sinned against an incredible amount of light and God forgave them. You have no excuse. If you say God can't forgive you, you make God a liar because God has already said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for our Savior. We thank You for cleansing in His blood. Amen.